Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Capsule. Here we open the capsule on several health conditions and concerns that may help you gain knowledge to better your well-being. How's it going, Nan?
Very good today. Just finished work. It's a pretty hot day in Perth, so got to crank up the air cons. Otherwise, I'll be sweating in this uniform.
Nice.
So today we got a special guest. And her name is Alvina Fu. Alina Fu?
Alvina.
Alvina. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's all right. I'll let you introduce about yourself, and then we can get into the topic, which we will explore a little bit later.
Sure, Nan. And first of all, thank you guys for having me and your podcast. So that's
not a problem.
Okay, so just a bit about myself. I was born in Singapore and had my primary and secondary schooling there. In primary school, I was into swimming and was generally very active. And from year seven onwards, I play a lot of badminton. I was part of my school team and we train almost every day except Sundays. Wow. They were one of the most memorable times, as I really enjoyed being with my teammates and the training. So when I migrated to Australia, I continued playing badminton for the New South Wales States under 18 team and for my uni, the University of Sydney in the Australian University Games. And as I reflect back, my sports background had taught me many life skills, especially on discipline and routine, even though I wasn't aware back then. Mm-hmm. And in terms of my health, I was always coughing in my primary school years. I'm sure if my mum had ever got me a diagnosis, and she was quite traditional. I was usually treated with traditional Chinese medicine. I can still remember. Nice. I was just going to say, I don't know whether you guys can relate, but I can still remember the ghastly tasting herbs that I had to put up with. And there was also food that I had to avoid, especially when my cough was really bad. And of course, they were generally my favorite foods like ice cream, treats, and...
Oh, no.
Yes. Yep. So it wasn't fun. So as you can imagine, I didn't take to the liking of this sort of medicine. But I did remember feeling better when I refrained from these foods and have the herbs, but I would never admit to it, as you know why. I had the odd antibiotics every now and again, and maybe a handful of times in the first 20 years of my life. But I did remember this very clearly when I was about 9 or 10. I looked at a bottle of, Western medicine, a bottle of antibiotics, attempting to pronounce a long name, and thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool to know what all these medicines do? And at this stage, I've never been seen by a pharmacist or know what a pharmacist actually does. So in high school, I developed a strong interest in mathematics, physics, and chemistry. So I gravitated to uni courses like optometry, physiotherapy, pharmacy, chemical engineering, and food science and technology. But out of all my options, I really want to do pharmacy. And I had a keen interest in nutrition. And I remember feeling very disappointed back then when we were only offered 4 lectures on nutrition for our entire course. So has that changed at all, like when you did pharmacy?
I'm pretty sure we didn't get that much of study into nutrition at all. No, I didn't
even count it. I count it with 4. So, and the interest probably stemmed from my childhood period. When I was unwell, as mentioned earlier, even though I didn't appreciate my restricted diet, it was impressionable to me. Mm. So hence my quest to learn more about nutrition and nutraceuticals after I graduated from pharmacy.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right.
Well, while you were in Singapore, I'm not like, because I was in Singapore for like 3 years. I did like high school there. Okay. And then I see a lot of like, the chicken essence is like one of the most popular thing ever in Singapore at that time. So I don't know if whether it was popular then.
Yeah. You just brought back some memories.
Yeah.
What it tastes like. No, it's not very pleasant at all.
I am, because like all of my friends had it, and we was like preparing for A levels, and literally all my friends had it, and I don't know, yeah. they did quite well for the exam, but I don't know whether it was
probably
chicken.
Because of the chicken essence.
Yeah.
Oh no, I remembered some herbs with I remember there's some bee wings, bee. Yeah, it was gross. It was disgusting. But I have to, yes, I have to drink it. Yeah. So a little bit traumatized by that.
I did not have to go through that. I'll just put that out there. I avoided all that.
Lucky you.
Yeah. So you've gone into a bit about your passion into nutrition. What about the bodybuilding side of it?
Yeah. So you know, when you talk about passion about nutrition, so I'm not quite sure if I can say I'm passionate about nutrition. I guess I was always curious and hungry for information. And okay. I just know that I enjoy and love talking about nutrition, and because it has a profound impact on health, period. And secondly, I love food. I love eating it, and I enjoy making it. And the more I learn, the more questions I have, and everything used to be so much simpler, but you know, that I feel like I have the answer, but nowadays I'm not quite sure, and I don't seem to be able to provide any simple answer anymore. And it's been a very humbling experience. Shan, you asked about the bodybuilding aspect. I've been, I guess, weight training for over 12 years.
Wow.
And I've never really thought about competing because I love food. And I never thought that I would have the discipline to control my food intake, because that is a major part, which I come to understand.
Yes.
And then in January 2019, after reading Professor Volta Longo's work, I'm not sure whether you're familiar with his work, Volta. But it was about, you know, like the fasting and all that.
Oh, okay.
Stuff. And also various researchers' work, such as Dr. Sachin Panda on fasting. And so I decided to do a 3-day fast, but that extended to a 5-day fast because I felt it. The first couple of days was horrid. I was like, oh my God, just keep thinking, you know, hunger pains keep coming. And then come to day 3, I was like, oh, I can do this for a while. And so I extended it to 5 days, but I call it dirty fast because I was still allowing some kind of broth, you know, just to keep my electrolytes up, a bit of green tea, and also some brain change amino acid before training, because I was still training then.
Okay.
And after that experience, I felt that perhaps I may have the discipline required with my food after all. So I wanted to test my limits, and I couldn't find enough why nots, good enough reasons why not to do it. So that's what I did. And because I was a newbie to the bodybuilding sports, I had no attachments to any kind of diet, as I was already eating quite a high-fat, low-carb diet at this stage. I wanted to do the entire prep on a ketogenic diet. To me, I had nothing to lose, and it was like a science experiment for me with subject number equals one. So in the bodybuilding, you know, comm, usually they will have a relatively low fat. So it was, you know, there are some bodybuilders who does use a ketogenic diet, but they're, you know, not that many. So my diet consisted about 65 to 70% fat, about 20 to 25% protein, and my total carbs were generally around 30 to 50 grams.
Okay.
So it was, you know, yes, testing my limit, but at the same time, I thought it would be a very cool experiment to do.
No, it sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So when, I suppose, like, you've you follow that diet. And but then nowadays, pretty much everyone will come up with some special type diet. You got paleo, you got keto diet, you got intermittent fasting, and all sort of thing. Like, is there any particular one that you think that is like the better one for you out there, or all of them are just as good? Or
yeah, so just to clarify, you know, like ketogenic diet is actually really not a fat diet. It was actually used back in the 1920s in treating seizures at the Mayo Clinic.
Okay.
So the use of, you know, ketogenic diet is still indicated now for uncontrolled childhood epilepsy, you know, by drugs. So if a child's not controlled, then they use the ketogenic diet. So I think, you know, from memory, it was, you know, phenytoin came to the market, I think, late 1930, I think 1936 or 1938. And from then, they really ditched the ketogenic diet because it was really hard to follow. Like a classic ketogenic diet, it's about 85 to 90% fat. So you're like drinking oil. It was really, really difficult to adhere to. Now, as far as, you know, you're saying, you know, in what kind of diet is better, it depends on our goal. See, I told you, like, you know, everything, it's never simple anymore. Like, you know, it depends. I say that a lot. Oh, it depends. It depends. And the term ketogenic diet has somewhat lost its meaning. It's like the paleo diet that you mentioned, you know, it's like, you know, what's paleo? Like, you know, you almost have to, you know, with the paleo, you have a almost like a sub-range, you know, you're talking about a carnivore paleo, you're talking about a vegan paleo, what are you talking about? And you almost need to clarify with the person you're having a conversation with. And something that even ketogenic diet, you know, when you actually ask a person, and sometimes they think that it's actually a high protein diet, and they will describe to you what they eat, and you think, hang on a second, this is not a ketogenic diet at all. And then some people would think that, you know, depending on who you follow and, you know, this whatever social media feed comes up. And some might think that, you know, ketogenic diet means consuming a lot of bacon and cheese and using heavy cream on everything. Yeah, so it's a really interesting topic. I feel that diet is... It's so accessible, but at the same time, it's actually quite complicated. And I think any diet could be bastardized and done badly. Mm-hmm. And in my view, people should strive for, you know, a lower carb, whole food diet. And it's interesting. I don't know whether you saw the, you know, Diabetes Australia guidelines. I'll say probably about, I think, 2018 then, they've actually changed the stance on carbs. They're now advocating, you know, even lower carb approach. I'm not saying like low carb, but a lower carb approach compared to what they recommend. Because when you look at the old guideline and you look at what they recommend, it's about 5 to 6 servings of carbs on the guideline. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at that.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I looked at it was because, you know, a few years ago I did a presentation, so I was, you know, like, yeah, looking at all the different kind of guidelines in Australia. Okay.
So, we saw you've published a book, Yuck, Do I Have to Eat That? Which it was basically my anthem when I was a kid. So, tell us more about this book. What made you?
Like that.
Yeah. What made you think of writing it?
Well, it actually kind of started with my son. My son, back then, he was in year 3, and he recommended his mum to do a talk. I was like, thanks, Finn. And so there were like 26 little kids, right? And I thought, well, how am I going to engage? Like, you know, doing a talk, I mean, I'm going to lose them. And so I started drawing pictures, and I actually really, I had a lot of fun doing it myself. So I like drawing, I was really enjoying it. and, you know, giving myself a pat on the back of, gee, good work, Athena. And when I was presenting, you know, I drew it on like pieces of paper, and then I'm just showing them pictures and asking them lots of questions. And they had lots of questions, and they were so engaging. They wanted to know more. And there were a lot of information that they, you know, that they didn't have, or they got it wrong, of course, you know, like, you know, year three. And so that actually really started. And I thought, well, maybe I should write a book, you know, on, or draw, do an illustration book on this topic, because it's just so important, and we can set them up for life, you know, like, you know, good, healthy eating habits. Then I believe that a lot of the health condition that we see, a lot of chronic conditions, probably wouldn't occur, or we would probably vastly reduce you know, say, you know, the number of diabetes, for example.
Okay.
Because, you know, you're not going to be eating so much processed sugar and think about the gut microbiome.
That's true.
So that's why I wrote it.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Took me 2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Oh.
Yeah, it was, you know, like when you're not a professional writer and you have other things.
Yeah, true.
And during that time when the book was published, it was in the middle of my my bodybuilding calm. And so and together with QCPP accreditation,
yes,
it was very a very drilling, very stressful time.
And taking care of a year 3 year old.
By then, as well. Year five, and I've got two kids, so year five and year seven. So, you know, cooking and not eating their food, but my food. So two different meals.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Did you have to approach a publisher for that, or you just find one and publish through it?
Yeah, look, I just decide, because I wanted to do it, and because I didn't have any really real experience in publishing, I just thought that, you know, I'll just self-publish a book.
Oh yeah.
So that's what I did.
Okay, I see.
And I just thought, well, J.K. Rowling can self-publish her first book. Yeah. Why not? Good enough for her, good enough for me.
True.
Oh, not quite the same standard, though.
That's all right. I have a wedding coming up, and I've been like on a very healthy diet. I've tried to, but it seems to me that it is. A lot of people say, you know, healthy diet is quite cheap, but it seems to me like it's actually just as expensive, like as costly as like getting takeout food sometimes, or eating like, you know, not so healthy stuff. Because you need to maintain like 2 fruit, 5 vegetable a day as per the guideline, and buy all this stuff. So is that a myth, or is it like I've been doing something wrong, or is it, yeah.
You mean it's more expensive to eat healthy?
Yeah, it seems to me that way, but I don't know if I've been doing something wrong, or it's...
I don't think so, but you probably need to be quite good in, you know, like organizing your food and doing, you know, maybe prepping your food. So you can always get, you know, food, for example, you know, when you go to, I don't know where you guys shop, like, you know, is it Coles or Woolies or
usually
independent. Yeah. So we've got, I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll get my stuff from Coles, but we do have a local, because being regional, we do have a fresh vegetable, fresh fruit market, and they have very, very good specials. So sometimes, like, for instance, you know, I can get in, there was a few months ago, like, you know, broccoli, that's like one of my favorite foods. It was $2 per kilo. It was so cheap. And so I'll buy, you know, usually it comes in but you have to buy bulk. So I bought, it was like $4 for 2 kilos, so which is essentially $2. And so, you know, I buy that way, and carrots, usually it would be $1 for a kilo. And sometimes zucchini would be on special for, like $2 or $3 for a kilo, but you have to buy bulk. So that's what, you know, I encourage people to do. You can always then, you know, prep, you know, and just that. I think the thing is just, you know, to be very organized, because, you know, with processed food, you know, it's simple, you know, you just buy the takeout. But say for a packet of cereal, for example, I actually wrote about this many moons ago, about a packet of cereal. I don't know how much cereal's up, because I don't eat them. Probably about four. Would it be like, right, $4 for a packet, for a box?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, and then, but if you buy a packet of oats, it's, I think it's less than $2.
Yeah.
And it's more, you know, like it's more nutrient dense. So you can buy a packet of oats, and then, you know, if you want to dress it up, you can put some cinnamon, you can buy some, you know, dates, maybe two dates, into a bowl of oats, and it's actually not that expensive. So, you know, if you can look at what's actually on special, and generally what's on special is also seasonal, so you can actually eat seasonal, which is actually what we're meant to do. So I really don't think that, you know, like takeout is definitely more expensive. I don't know whether you agree. I mean, you know, is it difficult? Do you think that maybe that might be the challenge for people?
I think, because I went out recently and I spent an easy $50 amongst two people, and I was like, yeah.
Take away.
So I was like, you could definitely do like a week's worth of grocery shopping.
Exactly. Because actually during the COVID time, I mean, it's actually really a blessing in disguise, because then, you know, like we eat out a lot at home, and then I realized that, wow, like, you know, if I would go out with my kids, it will be, you know, sometimes 50 or 60, depending on what we eat. You know, sometimes it could even be up to about $70, and that's like a whole week of, you know, groceries. So I think it's definitely a myth if you can, you know, shop properly. That's such a term.
Yeah.
Shop smart.
Like buying bulk. Buying bulk helps.
Alrighty. So what would be your go-to source for a healthy recipe? So I guess to help meal prep and all that.
Yeah. I have trouble conforming to any recipes, because I love creating stuff. So I don't know why. Like I just love it. It's like, I don't know, fun. It's like an art. But I would say Diet Doctor will be one that come to mind.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's dietdoctor.com, or if you Google Diet Doctor, you should be able to find the site. They have some free recipes, and then, or you could, you know, subscribe to more accessible recipes, and they do have, you know, different kind of diet requirement, like, you know, like your ketogenic diet, I believe, different types of diet. So that will be the source where I'll go to. What about you? Like, have you found any good websites?
I haven't. I usually get the missus to oh, yep. What's happening?
Right? Yeah. She does the cooking. You do the quality control.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Nan?
I just been Google like Buddha bowl or healthy recipe. So it's pretty much what I do. Whatever come up and look like lots of vegetable, that's, I assume that's healthy. So I just go with it.
Fair enough.
And try to not eat too much red meat as well. That's what I've been trying to do. So try to use like turkey, chicken. Yeah, or if I really want to go meat free, then I'll just use like what's that thing called? Lentil?
Lentils.
Oh, lentils.
Lentil, yeah. Or chickpea, yeah, something like that. That give quite enough protein for me. Yeah. So yeah, it should be.
Okay. It's, you know, it's funny, turkey makes me very, it makes me drowsy. And I think it might be the tryptophan drowsy. In it, you know.
It's
funny, those two food I've tried and tried a few times. So definitely no turkey or prawns for me at lunchtime. Because I would just want to have a siesta. That would be the end of me. Yeah, it wouldn't be able to work. It's funny,
I've not noticed that, but I'll try and see if that happens as well.
Yeah, it was just a few times. It was like where it was a very unusual lethargy, you know, and then I just started noticing that every single time when I have more prawns or turkey, I get, it's nice. I mean, you know, I recommend it for nighttime. I mean, that's for me. I can't say that it's true for everyone, but for me, that's the case. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
I think it makes sense because I used to love prawns a lot, like as a kid. But there's one time I ate so much that I felt like drunk. Like, I don't know, you feel drunk.
Did you have not the drunken prawns? No, sorry.
So it must be that. I don't know.
It must be. Maybe it's the alcohol. Prawns are good.
Alrighty. Well, that's pretty much it from our end, unless was there anything else you'd like to add?
No, but I just want to, you know, really commend you guys for, you know, the podcast. It really requires a lot of discipline to be doing this every week that you put on a podcast show.
Yeah, so, we try to.
So fair play to you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That really requires a lot of discipline. So well done, guys.
Cheers. And thank you for coming on as well. We understand because you're over in eastern states, so it's a bit later over there.
In Nowra, New South Wales, South Coast.
Oh, Nowra.
Nowra, yes, where the bushfire is.
Yeah. So it's all okay at the moment?
Or? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Now with COVID, you know, COVID's taken over.
Nice.
Is there any COVID case in your place?
At the moment, it seems to be okay. Yes. Right. Yeah. A lot of tourists around, though, because we're down the South Coast and no one could really go overseas. So they come down the South Coast because, after all, it's beautiful down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, but it's all good here.
Yeah.
But thank you, guys.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Nan, was there anything you wanted to add?
No, I'm good. Thanks a lot, Alvina, for coming on to the show today. And how can our listener contact you or follow you if they want to know more about your passions and career?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram. So it's at Miss M-S Alvina Fu, M-S-A-L-V-I-N-A-F for Fred, 00. Or I've got a public page on Facebook, just Alvina Fu, you can find me. Or I've got a blog, which is alvinafu.com.
Okay.
So you can find me that way.
Perfect. So, you might get a search of Google after this. Anyway. all right. Anyway, thanks for again for being on here today. And
thank you, guys.
We hope we can catch up another time. And
sure.
We shall see you guys again soon.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you. Have a good evening, guys.
You too. Bye. All of the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you have any questions, please see your healthcare professional.